From WIPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal. I'm Andy Bienstock. Last week at the Creative Alliance's Patterson Theater, a packed audience was treated to the second installment in a new live storytelling series called The Stoop. One of the storytellers who brought down the house is a Baltimorean by the name of Matt Fisher. You might remember hearing Matt on our program once before. We spent an afternoon walking around town with him while he conducted his work as a professional dog walker. Matt, as it turns out, is also an exceptional storyteller with a lethal sense of humor. Through a generous arrangement with the Stoop's organizers, Laura Wexler and Jessica Henkin, we're happy to be able to broadcast Matt's story on the air today.
So when Jessica and Laura first asked me to do this show, my immediate response was, I have to talk about a friend of mine walking in on my roommate masturbating. But then I decided I should talk about the same-sex common law marriage I'm involved in after having living with the same guy for 13 years, but I don't want to embarrass my fiance. So I've decided to talk about Bob. We're going to talk about Bob. We all agree Bob is a fairly common name, but he's also a very unique individual. But before I get to Bob, I want to do a little background. I know some of you are familiar with Westminster, Maryland, but if you're not, it's a quaint little town. At least the town itself is a quaint little town. The surrounding area is sort of like a booming metropolis of what used to be farms and woods, and now it's just rows of cookie-cutter houses and perfectly landscaped yards and things like that. But the town itself is really... I can't see any of you, by the way. The town itself has really maintained its character, and it has streets lined with big oak trees and sycamores and maples and old Victorian-style houses, and it's just a great place to grow up, so... This is where I grew up, and I was pretty well known around town because I was always cruising town on my bike and had an older brother and an older sister, and everyone knew them. So I had a very comfortable childhood. It was nice. But speaking of my older brother and older sister, I really looked up to them. And when it came time to go to college, I wanted to go to the same college that they both went to, which was Loyola College, which is also where my father, grandfather, two aunts, and an uncle went. So I pretty much was destined to go there, obviously. And to me, there was no other college, but I had certain expectations of what it would be like. You know, even in high school, I was wearing my Loyola sweatshirt and, you know, running around trying to be academic and, you know, just I wanted to go to school and study and learn and, you know, meet people with the same interests that I had and, you know, chase after cute girls from New York and New Jersey because that's where all the girls are from at Loyola. And, you know, just have a good time. You know, so finally, I got my application. I was filling it out. And there's one question I remember in particular because it got me one step closer to Bob. Don't forget we're talking about Bob here. The question was, do you want a smoking room or a non-smoking room? Now, I wasn't a smoker, but I knew if I wanted to really meet the cool people at college, I had to choose smoking, okay? So, of course, I checked off smoking, which was the right thing to do to get closer to Bob. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But, you know, we got our room assignments, and I found out I would be living with three other guys. Two of them were already friends from high school and down in the Gaithersburg area, and we all started to chat on the phone and, you know, get to know each other. And, you know, they were nice guys, pretty much what I expected, what I was looking for. And, you know, we all discussed different aspects of our life, but no one had spoken to Bob. We kept asking, has anyone talked to Bob? No one's talked to Bob. Where's Bob? Who is Bob? So eventually the first day of school comes and we all show up and I get there first just to see what it's like. And what it's like is a room the size of this stage with two sets of bunk beds. So I was like, all right, tight fit. So I get there first and I kind of separate the beds and try to jam myself in the corner for some privacy, which found out later, forget it. I don't know why I even tried. And my other two roommates showed up, and we all got to know each other, and we met our parents and just had a good time. We got there at like noon. It got to be 6, 7 o'clock, and the sun's starting to set. And we're like, you know what? I'm tired of being pent up in this room unpacking. We need to get out on campus and check out all these girls from New York and New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? So we were like, you know what? Maybe Bob will be here when we get back. So, you know, we cruised up to campus, you know, had a little dinner. It's pretty good food there, by the way. And, you know, we go back to the room, and I'm the first to walk in. I open the door, and there's still no Bob. It's completely dark, but... What's that smell? It smells like cigarettes. And my eyes kind of adjust, and there's a streetlights, you know, in the background, and my eyes kind of adjust, and I see this figure of this head and these feet propped up on the desk, and then I see the orange glow of a cigarette. I'm like, holy shit, there's Bob, and he is so cool. So I flick on the light, and there's Bob leaning back in his chair, feet propped up on his desk, big smile on his face, smoking his cigarette. He's got his baggy jeans, his black leather jacket, and his thick head of awesome black hair slicked back that I was so envious of, I couldn't even stand it. And he had this little, this glimmer in his eye that you just knew he was cool, you know? So that was my first introduction to Bob. And as the weeks went on, I got to know Bob a little bit more. He was really into gangster rap. Not even hip-hop, just hardcore ghetto boy style gangster rap. And he was from a small, sort of depressed, from what I know of it, I've never been there, a small, sort of depressed suburb of Pittsburgh called Aliquippa that he referred to as the Quip. And he loved smoking weed, okay? Mainly blunts. If you don't know what a blunt is, it's when you cut open a cigar, empty it out, fill it with weed, roll it up, lick it, and smoke it. And these are real stinky things, especially in a room the size of the stage with a door towel so the smell wouldn't get out, okay? So eventually, you know, this continues for a few weeks, maybe months, you know, while we're trying to study about, oh, yeah. So eventually Bob runs out of weed, and he has to find a new dealer. So I come home from class one day, and his new dealer is there, and his new dealer, it turns out, is a thug named Killa, who likes to roll with six or seven other thugs. So I come home from class, I'm coming up in the elevator. Oh, Bob's at it again. Walk into my room, the size of the stage, bunk beds, Bob, eight or nine thugs, all with their own blunts, just smoking so thick you couldn't see through it. Now, this was very exciting and terrifying. It was exciting because in high school I had seen this kind of thing on MTV Raps. But it was terrifying because I was worried that if I gave one of Killer's boys the wrong look, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. But anyway, you know, he continued to get his weed from Killer. But then all of a sudden, one day he decided to just skip class and, you know, smoke a blunt and play some video games, you know. So we're like, all right, so he does that. He does, you know, and then a week goes by. He's still skipping class. And then he decides, you know what? Why should I have to wear pants? Bob took off his pants. He stopped wearing pants. I guess, why should he have to wear pants? I have no idea what was going through his head at that time, but I know one of the thoughts was, why should I have to wear pants? Okay? So Bob, you know, Bob spent 3 weeks sitting around in his tidy whities and a tennis camp t-shirt he would borrow from me that was two sizes too small with his gut hanging out, playing video games, and that shine in his eye, that cool shine he had the first day I met him, had turned into a crazy shine. And I officially knew he was crazy the day that I came home from class and Bob was sitting on the corner of his desk. He had his headphones on. He was bobbing. He was jamming. He was feeling good. He looks at me. He's like, yo, this shit is dope. I'm like, cool. You know, I thought it was like a new Ghetto Boys record, you know. He's bobbing. And then I lay down on my bed and all of a sudden I kind of hear him mumbling the lyrics and just, are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. So at that point, I knew that he had officially lost it, okay? And that's at around that same time, the 3 weeks of not going to class caught up with him. He ended up getting kicked out, but the thing I learned from Bob is to expect the unexpected and be open for the unexpected, which really prepared me for my sophomore year when I lived with a midget who was constantly tripping on acid, and that's true.
Loyola College alum and professional dog walker Matt Fisher sharing a story in front of a live audience at Baltimore's new storytelling series, The Stoop. We thank Matt and The Stoop for being part of our program today. And you can find out how to become a part of The Stoop yourself as an audience member or a storyteller online at stoopstorytelling.com.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? parsley, sage, rosemary.